worship. And what we're going to go on today to look at is being a community of healing. A community not just of healing, but a community of healing and of renewal. And within the context of the Urban Monastery, all of these things fit together. And there'll be some people, Alan was talking last week, there'll be some people who will buy into one of the areas, and that'll be the place where God really has them at work. And some people will buy into more than one, but actually it's that model that allows us to let everybody play. Everybody gets to play. This is not just about a one man or a one woman ministry. This is actually about how we all participate, how we're all as the body and the family of God in this place, how we're all able to participate in that, how we're all able to bring the gifts that God's given us to be used, not just to build the church, but actually to build the church in the community, to take Jesus into the community. So we were thinking about a house of prayer and worship last week and about how that actually underpins absolutely everything. What we're thinking about here, and one of the things that I'm going to touch on all the way through this today, is the fact that the reason that we're able to do what we do is not because we're great. We are great, but it's not because we're great that we're able to do what we do. We're able to do what we do because we build a red hot centre. You heard the guys from Experience talk about that hunger for more, about that place of being saturated in God's presence. And actually, that's how we do the stuff. We don't do the stuff because we're great. We do the stuff because he's great and we're hidden in him, or he's in us. And in actual fact, when we create the red hot centre, it allows us to burn around the outside as well. It allows us to be flaming around the outside too. Without that red hot centre, we'll just be doing good stuff, and we'll be doing stuff we think are good ideas. But in actual fact, the power and the presence of God that we can take from the red hot centre out into the burning edges and the flaming edges is where we actually start to make the difference. I dropped in just briefly yesterday on GPC's conference. I know some of you were there for the weekend just yesterday and Friday night, although the snow on Friday night, I think, disrupted things just a little in terms of the numbers of folk who were there. I dropped in yesterday. I could only go for one session. And it was interesting to hear. There's been a bit of a shift, not just in how GPC are talking, but actually in how lots of churches and lots of ministries are talking around the country just over the last year, where all of a sudden there's a focus on the out. There's a focus on, how do we actually influence society? How do we influence culture? How do we actually take the stuff that we know that we have kingdom solutions for, and we take it into the world? And that was really exciting, hearing that yesterday. And hearing Emma talk about finance and about debt. And at one point, I knew Nicola was just sitting just in front of me, and I actually wanted to jump up and down and say, the CAP manager's here. You need to talk to her. She's doing all of this stuff. But just in the brief stuff that I heard yesterday, where Emma was speaking about, it was really hard-hitting stuff in terms of debt and money and finance and a kingdom approach to that. So rather than simply, although the Red Hot Centre is absolutely vital for us, but rather than simply being so heavenly-minded that we're no earthly good, we are actually now saying, right, what do we do at the Red Hot Centre that allows us to be empowered to go out to do the stuff around the edges? And that's really what all of this is about. So Alan started with the Red Hot Centre last week. I want to read, first of all, from Isaiah 61. It's going to come up on the screen, and it's the Living Bible. I'm going to just turn around and read it there because it's easier to see the big print on the screen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to the captives and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favour to them has come, and the day of his wrath to their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. For God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his glory. And they shall rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities long ago destroyed, reviving them, though they have lain there many generations. Foreigners shall be your servants. They shall feed your flocks and plough your fields and tend your vineyards. You shall be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You shall be fed with the treasures of the nations and shall glory in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you shall have a double portion of prosperity and everlasting joy. really interesting when you start to read that, especially in the first few verses. It's all about being sent. It doesn't say they will come to you and you will do all of this. It actually says, he has sent me to tell those who mourn. He's sent. It's about a sentness rather than a coming to. And I want to think about that. And I want to just pause there to think about that just now, because as we are sent to go and do this, as we are sent to bring light in the dark places, what does that actually look like for us? And how can we take the light into the dark places? You see, I think that being a community of healing and renewal, the most important thing is that we are hooked into that red hot center. Because right at the start of this, it's the Lord who has anointed him. It's the Lord who anoints. It's actually the power that comes from God that allows us to do that. Where do you find that? Well, you find that by being immersed in him at the red hot center. And then by being immersed at the red hot center, we are sent to go and do all of these things. There have been so many words, prophetic words, spoken over White Inch about being a community and being a place of deep healing and deep. We've had words about deep wells of healing. We've had words about breaking addictions. We've had words about being anointed to see mental health healed in places where it's not able to be healed at the moment. We've had loads of words about that. And the thing about prophetic words is that unless we position ourselves, you can get all the prophetic words that you like, but in actual fact, you've got to do something about them. You've got to position yourself in a way that makes it that by how you position yourself, you're in agreement with the prophetic words, and you're saying, yeah, absolutely, we agree. That's what you've said. That's what we're going after. And I've been thinking about this and thinking about Heidi Baker and thinking about Heidi's whole thing about praying, believing God had said to her that she would see blind eyes opened, and about how she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed for however many years it was before she saw the first of the blind eyes open. But she didn't give up. She had the tenacity to say, right, God said that's what's going to happen, so I am going to continually position myself. That Wren's Collective song that that Gordy did this morning, that we did last week as well, that whole thing about being defiant in his name, I will not back down, regardless of what I see round about me, I will not change my mind about what God has said, because actually he said that this will be a place of deep healing and deep renewal. And I believe that that's already happening. And there are some of you who can testify to that already happening in your lives and in the lives of folks who are around about you. I think, though, that there are two things here. I think that there's the things that we do, but I also think there are the things that we are. And I want to think, first of all, about the marks of a community of healing and renewal, not necessarily about what we do, but about who we are. I think one of the first marks, and I've touched on this already, is about passion. I think one of the first marks of a community that's positioned for healing and renewal is passion. Passion for God and for pursuing the things of God wherever we are. You see, again, and I don't make any apologies for repeating this, the place where you find the passion for God is at the red hot center. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to come to all the things that we do here. That's not what it's about. But it is about plugging in to where the red hot center is. It is about getting together with other people. You know that old thing? There's an old saying about if you take a bit of coal out of the fire and put it over there, it'll burn for a wee while, but then it won't because it's not got the other coals round about it. So there is something about creating and being part of a red hot center that involves other people so that we stand together. But it is about passion. I wonder how your passion tank is this morning. I wonder how passionate you are about God and about the things of God. And if you're sitting there this morning thinking, well, really, no, very, then actually you're in good company. And the way that you get that passion is because you say to God, God, that's what I want. Give me the passion for you, the passion to go after you, and actually about the passion to take the things of you to wherever I am. I think the second mark of a community of healing and renewal is reality. I think reality and vulnerability are two of the things that are a mark of a community of healing and renewal. And really the question in that is, will I really let you see who I am? Am I prepared to do that? And that's a question for not just for me, but for you. Are we really prepared to let other folks see who we are. Because actually there's something very healing about a community that's authentic and that's real with one another. There's actually something about a community that's like that, that you don't need to do anything in. It's actually just a community of healing and renewal because people are real and authentic with one another. I think intimacy is another mark of the healing of a community of healing and renewal. Intimacy not just with God, but with other people as well. You see, that intimacy is found as we plug into God. So the intimacy is connected with the passion. As we're passionate about God, as he gives us that passion for him and that hunger for him, so we grow in intimacy with him, so we're able to burn at the edges. And you see, once we're plugged in with the passion, once we've got the intimacy with God, we carry an atmosphere that goes with us wherever we go. And that atmosphere of God is actually the thing that has the capacity to change situations and other atmospheres wherever we are. I heard Alan Scott, before the summertime, I think, talk about how some parents who were around about in Coleraine were saying that their kids were going to university and they were really scared about their kids going to university and what would university do to them. And his comment was, I'm not worried about what university will do to the kids, I'm worried about what the kids will do to university. Because actually what they carry cannot help but impact what it is that they go into. And you know that yourself, when you've been, and I'm sure you know it as well as I do, when I'm plugged into God, when I'm living out of the passion and the intimacy with God, things change because the atmosphere is different round about me. When I'm trying to do it by myself, it's not nearly so successful. Isn't that funny? But it's not nearly so successful. But when I'm plugged into God, then the atmosphere changes round about me. The fourth mark of a community of healing and renewal, I think, is compassion. And I think it's a development of compassion, not just for others, but actually for ourselves too. Sometimes the people or the person that we're hardest on is actually ourselves. And I wonder what it looks like as a community of healing and renewal when we actually get off our own case for a wee while, when we actually become compassionate about ourselves. When we look at ourselves and we don't beat ourselves up with a big stick, you know, one of the things that's often quoted is love your neighbour as you would yourself. But you see, if you don't love yourself very much, how on earth do you love your neighbour? If you're not compassionate on yourself, how on earth can you be compassionate towards your neighbour? So for some of us, we actually need to stop beating ourselves up with a big stick and we need to say, do you know what? There's stuff I struggle with. God's bigger than all of that. And actually my relationships with other people are the thing that will be healing in that will help me to move forward. One of the things that Ray Simpson in the Blue Book, so if you've been around, you'll know that we had a pile of the Urban Monastery books that Ray Simpson had written that we've been handing out, that folks have been reading. And one of the things that he says, that what marks this monastic community is that we are a people who are seeking to live solely for God, but doing so with a communal accountability based on a commitment to a shared rule. So it's part of the commitment to the shared rule at the moment, because that's for another time. But it's about being in community and being communally accountable to one another, but with an absolute passion for God. And you see, I think that when we start to see those things in our community, and those things are already here, and they're already operating in our community, I think that that actually marks us as a place of healing and renewal. Because this really is as much about who we are as it is about what we do. We need to create the kind of community that's conducive to healing. I don't know whether or not you've ever come across a community that's toxic. Have you ever come across toxic communities where in actual fact you go into them and you just think, man, I don't want to be part of this? Because it's not that you can actually pinpoint often exactly what it is until maybe you're part of it and you're doing a bit of an analysis on what's going on. But you just get a feeling round about some communities that you think, I really don't want to be part of this. And I think that that's not what we want here. We don't want a toxic community here. We want a community here that is so open and so welcoming and so full of the presence of God that actually people can't help but be healed and renewed when they're part of that community. In that community, there's reality that we've already talked about. There's vulnerability, which is what we've already talked about as well. There's empathy. The ability to walk in somebody else's shoes. The ability to say, do you know what? See, if I had all that stuff in my life, I don't know how you're doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. That's empathy. It's about getting out of our world and into somebody else's world. And it's also about honour. Be thinking a bit about honour and about what honour looks like. And I know I've talked with some of you. I've been listening to a guy called Si Rogers, who has really impacted me just because he's got lots of punchy stuff that you just think, oh, right, okay, I need to think about that a bit more. One of the things that he talks about is about how we honour one another in terms of challenge. And I thought this was really interesting. I'll just throw it out to you and you can sit and mull it over. I've been mulling it over for about a fortnight now, so I'm 2 weeks further down the line than where some of you will be. So he talks about the fact that we are not allowed, biblically, the Bible says we're not allowed to judge. That's not our job. We don't judge. But the Bible does say that I can call you on your behaviour because that's about being accountable. And so what he talks about is that sometimes as Christians, what we do is we don't want to call MD on their behaviour because we don't want to be seen to be meddling in somebody else's life. We don't want to be seen to be coming heavy-handed with somebody or looking judgmental. But the analogy he uses is, if I saw you sitting in the freeway, he's an American clearly, if I saw you sitting in the freeway, blindfolded, and the traffic was all round about you, and you were choosing to be in the middle of the freeway with the traffic battering round about you, I would say to you, that is not a good choice. There are better choices of things to do. That's not a good choice to be making. And actually, if you keep making that choice, you're going to get hurt. And he says, if I was to turn away, cross my fingers, and just hope that it was all going to be okay, that would actually not be treating the person with honour. That would be treating them with contempt. I thought that was a really interesting thing, because I know that one of the things that I find hard is actually to say to folks, you know, that's not good for you. That, you know, when you make that choice, this may well be the possible outcome in that. And I find that really hard to do because there's an awful fine line between bringing challenge and speaking judgment over somebody. But to think about it in terms of honouring somebody and how we call one another to account, I think that's a really interesting. It's a really interesting comment, and it's a really interesting, theory. I think in terms of who we are, this is about dealing with our stuff. And I know that over the last 2 years, I've banged on about this and banged on about it and banged on about it. And I'm not making any apologies for banging on about it, because actually I think it's what marks us as a community of healing and renewal. That we don't carry a whole pile of our own guff. We actually get rid of all of that stuff so that we're able to see with the eyes of heaven what's going on. We're not seen through a filter of our own pain and our own hurt and our own stuff. So that's the first thing. But I think that as creating a community of healing and renewal here, it's actually about who we are just as much as what we do. But I want to think very briefly about what we actually do and the doing part of it, because there's two strands to the doing part of it as well. So where are we at the moment in terms of a community of healing and renewal? Alan said last week that he thought that this is probably the one that's furthest on. I'm not sure whether it is or not. But here's where we are. So within the context of what we do as a church, we have healing rooms. We've got inner healing, which in the form of Sursa now. We've counselling, both internal now and external. We've got short courses to do with coping with loss, or we run Seasons for Growth in the school, which is another course that looks at loss with kids. We've also got Food Bank and CAP. And I put them in there, and I thought, as I read down that list, people are going to go away, Food Bank and CAP, in terms of healing and renewal, because the other things are very overtly either inner healing or physical healing. But you see, part of being a community of healing and renewal is that we want to see healing and renewal brought to every area of people's lives. We're not just looking for mental health issues to be healed or for physical health issues to be healed. We're looking for issues with finances to be healed. We're looking for issues of poverty to be healed. We're looking for a complete renewal in terms of how people think about debt, of how people think about handling their money, of how people think about what it means to be rich or to be poor. We're looking for it's the whole spectrum. It's not just about physical or spiritual or emotional healing. That's not what we're looking about We're looking at the whole gambit and how the whole thing changes. So these things are already in place, and there's more besides. They're just a short list of the stuff that we have already in place. I want to share a wee bit about where my dream is to go. So this is where I want to go. Where I'd love to go is to have a place that actually was a centre for healing and renewal in the community. That's what I would like. It's going to come up. There's a lovely wee picture coming up. And this centre will look both reactive and proactive. We'll look at reactive first. So within this place, and it would be a physical place, within this place, we would be able to have counselling and therapy. We'd be able to have access to medics and physios and OTs. And we would also be able to have access to the spiritual stuff, to healing rooms and to Sursa. And I don't see the whole thing operating independently of one another. They all dovetail in. They come in and out of each other. They support and they complement each other. And those are reactive things. They react to particular issues that are around. We've talked, some of us, about the possibility of a triage system. So somebody would come and we would triage to see what they actually needed. And that's through conversations I've had with a number of you who are GPs. Or medics who have said that when people come to you with an issue in a consultant room, in actual fact, it's sometimes not a script that they need. They don't need a prescription. They actually need something else, but the resources of the NHS sometimes doesn't provide quickly enough what somebody actually needs. The dream is that we could actually triage people, and we'd be able to either give them quick or almost putting fire out advice in terms of medical stuff, and then be able to refer them on to the services that actually that would be good for them within the NHS. And so we're looking at what that looks like. It would also be a proactive place. So it would be able to offer a whole pile of stuff. It would be able to offer group work. It would be able to work with families. It would be able to work with addictions. It would be able to offer spa treatments, because actually that's really important. How many of you that have ever been for a spa treatment actually just feel great after it because somebody's taken the time effectively to minister to you? Some people's love language really is touch, and so hand massage, back massage or whatever, that actually makes a huge difference to people. What would happen at around about this time last year, we'd been given a present of a night away at somewhere that was involved two spa treatments. And it was a spa treatment for me and one for Gordon. Now, he's like, can we just tell them that you'll have both of them? He's like, I'm not really very interested in this kind of stuff. But they wouldn't do that. It was a case of, you know, it's one for each of you, or else you just forgo the other one. And clearly, because he was thinking, oh, well, wait a minute, I've paid for this, so somebody's going to use it. So he went for this spa treatment, and it was amazing. He was a total convert to spa treatments afterwards. I had been longer, because we were in separate rooms, so I was longer than he was. And when I came out, he's like, you know how they have these bits that you kind of sit and you chill with your mint tea or whatever it is afterwards? And here he is, and I've never seen him look so chilled. He was like, oh man, that was amazing. It's like, what is that about? But while the lady was doing my spa treatment, you know, in these places, very often they've got the kind of meditative music going on. And all over the place, there was Buddha. Everywhere I looked, there was a Buddha. And I started to talk to the lady, and interestingly, the lady had a Christian background. And so I was having this conversation with her while she was doing whatever she was doing to my back. I was having this conversation with her about what would it look like to be able to do this in a place that was saturated with the presence of God instead of Buddha or meditative music or whatever. What would that look like? How easy would it be? What could you actually do? And she started to get quite excited about what that might look like in that atmosphere. And really, that's the whole crux of this. This is not about a separation from the world. It's actually about being able to create a place that you can soak in the atmosphere of God so that it makes all of these things much easier to do. So that you're not working, you're actually working in that atmosphere constantly. You're not having to try and create it and take it in with you. It is actually that atmosphere that's there, and that's the expectation. I suppose the second half of that, the two-pronged approach, is that we would become a people that were so saturated with the presence of God that we would carry that into all the other places that we work, whether we're medics or anywhere else. We would carry it in, and the transforming presence of God would be in whichever place it was that we worked. It's about creating a people soaked in the presence of God. And in some ways, this is an artificial setup where you've got a place that you're actually focusing on to create the presence of, or to host the presence of God to be able to do this stuff. But in actual fact, what would it look like if, as a people of God, we carried the presence of God so much that when our medics went in, people got better quicker and more noticeably more successfully than for any other medic? What would it look like in our hospitals if our consultants, who were Christians, carried the presence of God to such a degree that people didn't need the operation because actually they were healed in the consultant room? What would that look like? What would it look like for our therapists who were working in places where they'll come now and they'll say, there's a God gap. You know, there's something, I can do this much, but I can't get the person to there. What would it look like if we carried the presence of God into the places that we worked, where we actually saw that God gap filled and we didn't need this anymore? Because actually what we had done was create villages of God that Alan talked about last week, villages of God or colonies of heaven in all the places that we were actually working. What would that look like? That is really exciting, because that is the church providing the kingdom solutions to the issues that the world can't find the solution to just at the moment. I think that is really, really exciting. There really is a mandate on us here. There is an anointing on us here for healing. And I was chatting with Alan about this week, and I was saying to him, you know, we started off the year where John came and he talked about healing and he prayed for healing. Last week, there was a real sense of the presence of God here and healing being released. And I was saying to Alan this week, I think we actually need to do this. We need to do it every single week until we see the breakthrough. We actually need to say, that's what we're doing, and we're going to do it like Heidi did, and that's what we believe, and we are going to keep doing this until we see the breakthrough. And so what I've asked this morning is, I've asked that we do this a wee bit differently this morning. So it's 12 o'clock just now. We've probably got 10 or 15 minutes. The guys in the band are going to come back up and they're going to start to lead us in worship again, because we want the presence of God. We want to plug into the Red Hot Centre, because that's where this stuff comes from. Then rather than doing ministry kind of over here with our ministry team this morning, we've given the ministry team who were down on the list the day off this morning. And what I've done is I've asked a number of people that I could think of. So if I've missed you out, I'm really sorry. It's just that I was doing it fast and you weren't on my email list. I've asked a number of people that I knew of who were involved in healthcare or who are involved in healing rooms or in inner healing here, if they'll come and be part of the ministry team this morning. And those guys are going to come out. So we're going to have a bunch of medics, we're going to have physios, we're going to have nurses, we're going to have inner healing folks, we're going to have healing rooms folks. They're going to come and they're just going to stand at the front here as the guys are leading us in worship. If you would like prayer for healing this morning, we would love you to come and get it. We don't normally do this in here, so we don't normally do the kind of come to the front, the altar call thing. You have to get up out of your seats during something we're doing and do it. And here's the reason that I want to do this this morning. The reason I want to do this morning is because if you look at the instances of healing through when Jesus healed people, he said to them, "What is it you want?" And they had to make a response. So the man with the withered hand, he says, "Stretch out your hand." And they had to do something. And very often they had to do it publicly. He says, "What is it you want? What can I do for you? Do you want to be healed?" And that's the question this morning. How hungry are you for it? How desperate are you for it? The guys are going to be here and they're going to pray. If you want prayer for healing, you come and get it this morning. If you know of somebody who's close to you, if there's somebody that's on your heart that needs prayer for healing, come and stand in the gap for them. So come up yourself and stand in their place and ask the guys to pray for healing. They're going to be up here for the next kind of 10 minutes to do that as we worship, and then I'm going to draw things to a close and I'll bless us and we'll go. There are a couple of testimonies, because testimonies bring faith and increase the faith levels. First one is that Helen came and said that Brian has been having issues with his heart for a long time. He's had some medical procedures in the last while where they've put a stent in, and actually there's a huge difference. And we want to give God the glory for that, because God works through the medics as well, because of the skill that he gives them, because of the gifting that he gives them. So we want to give God the glory for that. Kathy's going to come, and I don't know if there's a mic. Kathy, you can have mine. Kathy's going to come because there's a significant testimony from a couple of weeks ago.
I've had problems for years with my hands, my fingers, and I've had numerous hospital things, and arthritis was diagnosed in my fingers. But in the course of all of this, they discovered that there's been a bone reduction in the tips of my fingers. So I've had a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, and an inability to close my fist or anything like that. And over December, it was particularly bad. And one night, I was praying, and I just felt led to pray for my fingers, and I did. And I woke up the next morning fully expecting all the lumps and bumps that are there, because I've had some nodes removed, to be gone, but they weren't. So I thought, right, okay, I believe healing isn't just present, healing is for future as well. Carried on, and on the 4th of January, John Scott was here, and just very briefly he mentioned to no one in particular that he believed there was healing for arthritis in fingers. So I thought, I'll take that one. And I started flexing my fingers. Nicola was beside me and noticed that I was doing that. And there's been a massive improvement. 95% improvement without a shadow of a doubt. I can close my fists in a way I couldn't before. I don't feel that weakness in the tips. I have very little pain, very little discomfort. And there's a suppleness that I haven't had. So it's as if God has put his healing oil in my joints, and I keep doing this because it's like, this is amazing. So praise God.
Fantastic. And just the other one to say to you is that a number of you know that over the course of the last year I battled with a skin condition that causes abscesses, and I've been battling with an abscess since the start of December, which has been unpleasant and painful and all the rest of it. John, I stood the same way as many of you did when John was here on the 4th of January. I had a consultant's appointment on the 9th of January, and by the time I'd got to the consultant, I had no abscess. The abscess had gone completely, which in some ways was really annoying, because I thought, I've made the appointment out anyway, but the abscess was gone. The abscess was gone completely, and I give God the glory for that too. It's already started, folks. The breakthrough, we have already broken. There is a pushback, but we've already broken through. If you want healing this morning, come and get it. You can come up for prayer or get it straight from God and worship. Let's worship for 10 minutes or so. And if the guys who are going to pray want to come out, then that would be great.